You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very, very first time. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I'm delighted you're here, and I think you will be as well. And I hope you make a habit out of it. Come back each and every night. It's a good place to be. All right, everybody listen up real good and close now, because you're going to get one shot at this. Really, one shot. So you got to get this information. As you know, one of the DVDs that we offer in our store online is Ed Grimsley's UFO Wars. Now, I've just come back from the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference. I have 20 of these DVDs that we're going to offer as a clearance item. Okay? Now that means, now they sell for $24.95. You can get them for the next 24 hours for $12. Now, that's $10 for the DVD, $2 for shipping and handling, total of $12. Here's how you do it. It's not going to be in our store. You have to listen now. It's not in the store. If you go in the store, it's going to cost you $24.95. This is a special deal, a special offer. All right, here's how you do it. For the next 24 hours, the first 20 people to send me an email that says, I want Ed Grimsley's UFO Wars, or I want UFO Wars. Okay, you send me an email. Just go in, click on contact, and click on listener comment, and put in your comment, I want Ed Grimsley's DVD, or I want UFO Wars. You do that, you are going to receive a return email, a reply. After I get off of the air tonight, we'll start answering those. It will have a link for you to click where you can get this, okay? The first 20, 24 hours from now, if we haven't sold all 20, it will not be extended. So for the next 24 hours, you're getting this for just less than half price, including the shipping. All right? And I've got 20 of them. But you have to act within the next 24 hours, okay? So what do? You send me an email. Go in to our contact page at kevinsmithshow.com. Click on contact. Click on listener comment. And then say, I want Ed Grimsley's DVD, or I want UFO Wars. So then you will get an email from me with the link where you can get this. Okay, I've got 20 of them. If you're number 21, you don't get it. So you have to hurry. It's going to be up for 24 hours, or if the 20 are gone, whichever comes first, okay? But it will not be up for 24 hours in 1 minute. So if you want it, make up your mind and do it. You can do it. Two UFOs intercepted an airliner in Scotland, and that is really making the news over there. And I've looked at the video of it. I'm going to put a link to that video in this week's K-Files e-zine. Be sure you're subscribed so you'll get it. Okay? You can get it. We'll be back with Michael Rell right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It just may be that you can hear a bevy of sirens going on in the background. I have no idea what's going on out there, but apparently something pretty important. Lots of sirens. And we're back. The studio is back from the street a pretty good distance, but that stuff's pretty loud, so you may be hearing that in the background. Very quickly, and then we will get to our guest, Mike Orell. We got a couple of emails recently where people, and look, I understand people just have no idea how all this works. And so by no means does it upset me or make me angry when you write in and ask questions. But these couple of these emails ask, with a show this large, why do we charge for the members area? Well, I would remind you that even to listen at all to most of these big shows, you have to pay. And you get to listen to this one for free. Now, the members area, let me explain. Yes, we have sponsors, but they treat us as if we were only internet. Although we are internet, AM, FM, shortwave, internet TV, and iPhones and cell phones. And so instead of paying us for advertising, what they do is we get a very, very tiny commission if you do business with them. That's the way it works. And so if we do a whole lot of business, we'll make about $100 in 3 months. Okay? So that's the way it works. Now, on the other hand, that will just about, that $100 for 3 months, will just about cover 1 month of the toll-free line. And then there's the studio rent and everything else. So, it's tough for us to make it, and we do everything we can to keep it free for you to listen to the live shows. But we need your help, all right? And the reason we're doing this clearance sale on this DVD is we're trying to stay in business till Monday, all right? All right, my guest this evening is Mike Orell. Mike has a website that if you go to my website and you scroll down, you see the picture of Mike, you just click on his picture, it'll take you over to his website. And on his website is a lot of information about a UFO sighting and some photographs, and there is a headline that says, Best UFO Photograph Ever. And he's with us this evening. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin, and hello from San Diego to your many listeners across the world, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you, I have to admit, I've never been to San Diego, but my dad was in the military and was through there several times. And he said that it was absolutely beautiful there, and I've heard other people say the same. I've been to California several times, but I've never made it down to San Diego. I'll have to do that.
Well, as a native San Diegan, I've got no complaints, and I'm sure a lot of people who have become permanent residents here, like my girlfriend and a ton of people I work with, have no complaints either. Although, 2 weeks ago, we had quite an earthquake that rattled our bedrooms, and we're like living on the edge. We don't get the tornadoes and the hurricanes, but we've got earthquakes to live with.
Well, yeah, it sort of seems like if, there's really no place you can go on Earth and really be safe, because it's either going to be tornadoes or floods or hurricanes or earthquakes or volcanoes, something out there is in your neighborhood, and it's it makes for exciting times living on the surface of the blue ball.
Which brings us to the possibility, Kevin, that something is right around the corner. We got a lot of earthquakes and volcanoes that are coming awake after, you know, decades of dormancy. And I watch the history program like you do about what's under Yellowstone. There's a mega volcano that, who knows, could go off any day. So I think that's why my story has just come at the right time. And you'll see on my website, I'm very much into the Mayan prophecy for 2012. But
all right, we'll get into that. But now let me ask you something. You brought up the Yellowstone super volcano. Now, if it goes off, I've looked at the plans, the plots on maps of what gets covered in ash and what, you know, where life most likely will cease. And I'm in the death zone for the super volcano.
Arizona.
What about San Diego?
From the ash and debris cloud I saw, it would hit San Diego. Let alone cover a major portion of the Earth and wrap around a couple times, and who knows if a nuclear winter scenario would play out. But that is a possibility, and we just have to prepare for any event like that spiritually and be ready for what's coming. And who knows, we could get a tsunami. I'm looking at the ocean right now, and all we need is one underwater landslide, and we'd have a half hour before it hits our shore. But hopefully we've got a little bubble of security for a while, at least until 2012.
Do you know who Mitch Batros is? I shouldn't sideswipe you like that. Mitch Batros has really distinguished himself, I would say, in earth sciences. He looks at all of the things like what you're talking about, the volcanoes, the earthquakes, et cetera, and solar activity and its effect upon the earth and so forth. And he's got an article out right now about NASA has just for the first time observed a solar storm, a space storm spawned by the sun, hitting Earth's magnetic field. And he said that he explains that, you know, what the way it deforms our magnetic field. And then he said when the magnetic field snaps back into place, so to speak, then you have really extreme weather for a while. And he said that is coming. We can expect extreme weather because of this storm that has just hit Earth. So, you know, we live in interesting times, and people used to say it as a joke, may you live in interesting times. Well, we certainly do.
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, just on the History Channel the other night, they repeated the program on 2012, where they have revealed that there's going to be some incredible astronomical alignments. For instance, on the December solstice, the sun will actually be lining up with the center of our Milky Way galaxy, which is a very rare cosmic event. And at the same time, on that same day, our Earth will complete its wobble around the axis of our planet, which is known as precession. And I don't know if you've read the different books by Edgar Cayce and the predictions for what could possibly be a crustal displacement of our Earth as our Earth's magnetic poles shift, because apparently, according to a book called The Earth Past and Present by Ozankis and Darby, we are almost 250,000 years overdue for the next polar shift, and why hasn't it happened? Why are we overdue? And you know, Kevin, I think it has a lot to do with your subject last night that you talked about on your show, the Tunguska blast of 1908. You didn't mention, but in Coral Lorenzen's book, Shadows of the Unknown, she mentioned that it altered the magnetic field of our Earth. And if you put together that with the fact that our pyramids are lined up to the compass points almost exactly around the belly of our planet, as well as the magnetic field under Stonehenge, it looks like possibly that extraterrestrials have developed a way for us to postpone the shift if it is going to be a crustal displacement. I know a lot of scientists think that it's going to be an inner molten core event, but if this really does happen, we're going to need alien intervention, and that might be the only way out. Doomsday could be, you know, something out of our hands unless we make contact.
Story
has happened.
Under those scenarios, lifeboats and surfboards will do us no good.
No, you can't even dig a hole deep enough and think you're going to be safe because you don't know where the land masses will reemerge. And this is where I think the biblical rapture is going to come in. And as many programs as you've seen about UFOs being linked to the Bible and leading Moses for 40 years, I think that's why they're coming back now, and they're making themselves known to humanity to sort of break us in for what may be a momentous day in the evolution of mankind. You know, we'll be part of the Galactic Trading Federation, which apparently exists, if you believe the Barney and Betty Hill story about her map to the stars, where those broken lines represented expeditionary routes, like they said the one to our planet is, and the bold lines were trading routes. Now, that's what I saw in that program a long time ago.
All right, I'll tell you what let's do, just so we get everybody caught up and on the same page here. Let's go back to where we started with the photographs on your site. And how those photographs, first of all, there's a photograph showing a fleet of nine, or a squadron, or whatever you want to call it, but nine UFOs flying, I presume, over hills that are close to you. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was actually on July 1st, 1990, that I was hiking with my girlfriend and my buddy Bob, and we came across a wonderful trail up in Julian, and we went to scenic spot number 7, where I took a single photograph of 18 miles of the San Diego River Valley. And 2 weeks later, I got the film back from Thrifty's, and I noticed right away this formation of dots in the left-hand corner of that particular scenic photo. And I am a photographer. I did have my own dark room, and I blew the image up and looked at it with a loop, and I thought, you know, it was a negative glitch at first, but as I looked at them, I realized they're uniform in density and in shape. So 2 weeks later, I went back to the same spot, and I photographed birds and planes in the same spot and compared them. And when I got the film back and developed it and enlarged it, I realized that, hey, I really might have something here. So I contacted the San Diego UFO Society, who forwarded me to MUFON. And from MUFON, I was able to contact Mr. Bruce McAbee, who requested my photographs, and I sent them to him. And he told me that they were unidentifiable and opaque. And the rest, as they say, is history. It's quite a story that was first broke by Tony Perry, bureau chief of the LA Times, where he saw that I had actually taken this photograph and found a repeating pattern, Mr. Smith, that I was able to link successfully, I believe, with ancient artifacts, crop circles, and the Nazca lines in Peru. And the evidence, which they labeled unsettling, is on my website. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of it, but there's a lot more.
Well, let's talk about the repeating pattern. What describe for us the repeating pattern.
There's actually 10 UFOs in the photograph. There's 9 on the left, and I figured they're stretching out to the right for some reason, and I looked on the right side of the valley, which is due west of the 9 objects on the left, and sure enough, there was another object. So I was told to take it down to have it professionally enlarged to grain, which I couldn't do, Kevin, on my own enlarger, so I took it downtown San Diego and a giant photo enlarged it to grain, and when I got the photos back, the one on the right, it was amazing. The left contour of the object was in perfect focus because I had taken the picture with my Canon EOS 650 camera, and the left contour exactly matched the famous Keksberg UFO, which was featured on History Channel right after your program last night, by the way, buddy. And I realized, oh my gosh, I really do have a UFO photograph here, but there was something else. Two-thirds up the left side of that craft was a spike-like projection, which is very clear in the original enlargement. And I said, wow, that's bizarre. And I started collecting evidence on the TV and in books and wherever I could find it. And sure enough, I found three other separate UFO photographs that also were acorn-shaped and had the same spike-like projection two-thirds up the left side. And the most famous was a photograph taken by an astronaut on June 5th, 1969, I think it was, James McDivitt. And his photograph was shown on a program which no longer airs. And I was able to take a picture of that. And next thing you know, I found two other photographs by Marina Popovich, the test pilot from Russia, who I had the pleasure of meeting twice. And she actually held up my photograph for the first time ever on KGTV Channel 10 here in San Diego when she was interviewed by Jim Okerson. And she saw how her photograph, which aired on hard copy, also duplicated the markings on the Nazca plane in Peru, which is obvious in a book called Markings by Marilyn Bridges. On page 9 and 27, there's projecting triangles, just like four separate UFO photos that I've collected. And, you know, I don't claim to be a professional researcher. You know, I'm just a UFO enthusiast, according to the LA Times. I'm San Diego's premier UFO enthusiast. And I've done radio interviews with Stanton Friedman and about 25 of them across the country. And this story actually got me four front pages. And in 2006, Kevin, I was featured on KFMB Channel 8 here in San Diego. They did a great piece on the photograph. They showed the repeating pattern, and we actually went to scenic spot number 7, where I took this photograph, July 1st, 1990, and they wanted to see this alien head boulder, which is literally 10 to 12 feet directly behind the shot where I took this UFO photo. And
okay, now tell us about this alien head boulder.
Well, it was amazing. The second time I went back to Inyaha Memorial Park, and for any San Diegans listening, it's right up the street from Dudley's Bakery in Santa Isabel. Isabel is spelled with a Y, Y-S-A-B-E-L. It's about 2 miles up the right, and as I went back up there to shoot birds and planes from that same scenic spot, and it is gorgeous, I turned around to leave, and I was startled to see a boulder that looked exactly like an alien's head. And it's not a small boulder, and I guarantee I didn't carve it, but it was just so amazing. I took a picture of that, and the next thing you know, it's being featured in the Daily Californian, who also ran an incredible story about this giant rock face I discovered on a local mountain called El Cajon Mountain, and it was in 1984. It was 6 years before I ever took this UFO photograph. I was an art major at Grossmont College, and I was taking pictures of, you know, different local areas, and I discovered this huge face on a local mountain surrounded by a perfect circle. And I showed it to some friends of mine, and we teamed up and did a great logo of it and sold it in T-shirts and hats. But the idea is the single craft on the right-hand side of this valley, which I claim is the Rosetta Stone to solve this UFO mystery, was hovering over the backside of this mountain. And anybody who checks out my website after this interview, you're going to see that. And there's some other rock faces that got some press here in San Diego. But the alien rock face is very popular. A lot of people have already been there. They made a pilgrimage to the spot to take their own picture at this scenic spot number 7, where there's a brick wall and a telescope device where you can see different mountains that are pointed out. But this whole area, for me, Kevin, is sacred ground. And
okay, I hate to cut you off, but I have to. There's a break taking over, and it's going to cut us both off. We'll pick up right here when we come back. We'll be back, folks, more with Mike O'Rell right after this. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Mike Orell, out in San Diego, California. Mike, first let me ask you this. How old were you in 1990?
I was 33 years old the day I took that picture.
All right. Now, that was an accidental picture. That's what you say on your website. You didn't notice these until you got the film back, right? You didn't see them with your eye at the time.
That's absolutely correct. And to this day, Mr. Smith, I still can't believe that I didn't take two pictures, because as a photographer, you never count on just one picture being good enough. However, it was getting late on that trail. It was the first time we'd ever taken it, and I was responsible for getting my party home safely. And we do have cougars in the area, so I put my camera on this brick wall. I took a deep breath, exhaled, and slowly pressed down the shutter. And it was a good thing I knew that little technique, because I had my zoom lens on maximum distance, and it was perfectly focused, this right UFO on the right side of the valley, which gave me the clear impression that this craft was moving right to left to join the formation on the left side of the valley.
And all right. Would you say that this photograph has turned out to be a pivotal event in your life?
In my life, yes. You know, it's funny because I was into metaphysics. You know, I read your blog, by the way, Kevin, and that you like some mind-bending novels yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 1971, my father, who was a San Diego police sergeant, was accidentally killed in a dune buggy wreck down in Mexico. And after that, I started studying metaphysics, and I read the books by Carlos Castaneda, T. Lobsang Rampa, and Jane Roberts. And I was amazed to find that there really did exist a separate reality that was just as real as our own. And it explained the idea that UFOs not only exist, but that they seeded our reality and that they care so much about us, which is why I believe they're coming back to save us from this shift. But on the day I was there at the park, they were the last thing in my mind. And I believe that it wasn't really an accident that somehow or another I was set up, because if somebody else who was a non-believer would have taken that picture, they would have discarded it and wrote it off to birds or a negative glitch. I, as an artist and a photographer, would not settle for that until I was satisfied one way or the other. And before I ever sent that photograph off to Bruce Maccabee, I had found that pattern. And I became a MUFON UFO investigator for a while, and I had met with a lot of important people about the photograph, and the first guy was Tony Perry for the LA Times, who said, "You really got something here," and he had his staff analyze it, and the next thing you know, he's featuring me in his column, and the headline was, "Hey, you think it's easy being chosen to spread the UFO gospel?" And, you know, I hate to say it, but I really feel like that's why this has happened to me, because it's not about making money. I haven't charged for any of the articles that I've been in, and I've been in a lot of them, and it was only through the grace of God that happened, as well as my interviews on Channel 6, which covered, by the way, the UFO event that happened on New Year's Eve on 2008, and you're going to see on my website a link to Paula Harris's website, where she let me give a small presentation of my UFO story at her lecture in Carlsbad, and she has featured the incredible story that we captured numerous UFOs, which may be the same kind that I captured, on January 1st, 2008. So San Diego is like UFO Central, and who knows what's going to happen to this city come 2012.
All right, I have some questions about San Diego in just a moment, but I want to continue this line of thought for just a moment. Now, how is it that this photograph has led you into the study of the Mayan prophecies of 2012 and what Edgar Cayce has to say and so forth? What is it about this photo that pushed you that direction?
Well, you know, I have to say it did start off in the 70s when I got a quick study of metaphysics by reading a few books of each of these authors, and it confirmed for me that UFOs do exist. I mean, I grew up in the 50s and 60s when the idea of it was first being shown on, you know, black and white TV. And after that, I sort of settled into observing the reality of these different ideas. You know, my thoughts were creating my environment. It's really true. Your thoughts have substance, and I believe that you can create our reality. And eventually, that's what's going to happen. After, I believe, the shift and the rapture, we're going to be retrained, because, believe me, our education system is so flawed. You know, we're not taught to believe in such things, and therefore they're not going to exist. But that's why it led to that pivotal day, July 1st, 1990, when my camera accidentally captured these objects in the background. And it was like a gift for me. And it didn't stop there. You know, I was going to fulfill whatever mission I felt I was on, because after a while, the evidence I was collecting off the TV no longer was available, like the program Secrets and Mysteries that showed the James McDivitt photo of this acorn-shaped craft with a clear projection two-thirds to the left. That program went off the air, and they started claiming that photo didn't exist. And I sent it to Bruce McAbee, actually, and as you can see, it's on my website, and it duplicates artifacts from the Mayan era, which is what got me into that, because of the Mayan prophecy. And next thing you know, I'm finding these artifacts, and I'm looking at copies of my webpage right now, and it's sort of phenomenal. In Egypt, as well as the Yucatan, there's all sorts of artifacts where they have this projecting triangle. And then that one day, I walked into the bookstore and found that book by Marilyn Bridges. When I opened up that book and saw the Concord and the Great Triangle on page 9 and 27, I gave a big huzzah, because I knew that I was the first to see a long-lost sacred pattern rediscovered, and I realized that it was my mission now to share that. And I first tried to go out anonymously with this, and I wasn't getting any attention. So on my 34th birthday, I walked into a television station and started promoting this story, and I've been quite successful. It's been almost 20 years. And here we are right now, and I'm addressing the entire globe. You got 95 countries tuning into you.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, before I forget, I talked to Ed Grimsley after I watched his UFO Wars on television, and we had a great conversation. And I would really suggest anybody with the opportunity to get that DVD to get it, because it really proves that we are being visited by extraterrestrials, which you cannot see until you get those night vision goggles that he has. I mean, it was just phenomenal, as well as the different space shuttles who have captured all this alien footage. And
yeah, it is phenomenal. You know, I told the audience this when I first got back from the conference, but it bears repeating. People who attended the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference obviously were not people who think that Ed Grimsley was lying to them, and yet most of them had never looked through night vision equipment and seen UFOs. And so that's one of the big things they wanted to do. And this equipment is very expensive.
Yeah,
so he
had about that a discount price.
Even at a discount, you're looking at a lot of money. You're looking at about $3,000, $3,200, something like that. So he provides the night vision equipment for people to look through. So when we walked out onto the parking lot Sunday night and people started looking up into the sky with his equipment, it was very interesting, because there are about 100 people out there, some of them younger, most of them middle-aged to older. And here you've got middle-aged to older people squealing like three-year-olds as they look into the heavens and see for themselves what we've all been talking about. And one guy, I will never forget it. I had to sort of make sure I didn't chuckle out loud because I didn't want him to think I was in any way making fun of him. I wasn't. I was just so pleased. I was standing there, and off to my right behind me, I hear a guy say, "Oh, my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing."
Wow. Were you one of those squealers, Kevin? Did you have your moment?
Well, I didn't squeal. But, yeah, I've seen them through the night vision. Yeah.
I would have screamed loudly.
But it's quite amazing. Now, you've used a term several times that I want us to talk about. You've talked about rapture. Now, this is a term that is used normally by evangelical theologians. But I want to make sure people understand in general terms what that is. Basically, it is a great evacuation.
Yes. And you know, it's funny how it's linked to UFOs. Let me give you an example. There's a famous story of the Allagash Four fishermen who were paddling in a canoe on a lake when a UFO drops down, and one of them made the mistake of flashing its flashlight at it, and next thing you know, the UFO comes over to them, and you know what happened?
Mm-mm.
Kevin, you know that story?
As a matter of fact, I've seen that on television, yeah.
They got atomized and were beamed aboard ship, just like what happens on Star Trek, and then they got reassembled aboard ship, and the witnesses claimed that it was a very unsettling event, and yet they were redeposited, they were safe and secure, and I believe the same thing can happen to every human on this planet who ask to be forgiven for whatever sins they've committed and agrees to be part of the intergalactic plan where you have no violence thoughts towards anybody, because we are not going to be able to immigrate into outer space with our technical weapons, because believe me, what they can do right now would devastate our planet if they wanted to. But I believe that they are under the guidance of God, and according to metaphysics, they are, quote, emissaries from God. They are fulfilling our Creator's wishes. Why else could have Moses made it through the Sinai for 40 years, dodging the Egyptian armies, if God hadn't sent that pillar of light during the night and a cloud by day, guiding them? And how many pictures in ancient art show these hovering vehicles, including, Thutmose III, who wrote down in his papyrus that they had a UFO visitation? I mean, and the further back you go, Kevin, it looks like we had a lot of UFO contact. You'll see it on my website, rock paintings, and look even near Stonehenge. On one of my pages called Stonehenge Revealed, there is an acorn-shaped mound that's cut into right next to Stonehenge. And, I mean, it's all over the place, evidence of their stopping by. As a matter of fact, one of my most popular pages, I got a lot of hits on this, is the fact that I may have discovered that the Pyramid of the Sun in Teotihuacan, Mexico, is in fact a purposely designed giant human head. And when you see my website, you're going to say, wow, nobody's ever mentioned that before.
I have to admit, I've never heard that before.
Nope, and I first saw it on a program called In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy, and it hit me like a bolt of light that the eyebrow arch, which is a third down from the top of the pyramid, right below that, in the middle is a nose, and below that are two lips. It obviously looks like a stylized human head.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back more with Michael Rell right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Mike O'Rell. Now, Mike, we've kind of talked about a broad range of things here, But one of the things that has played prominently into much of what you've talked about has been 2012. We've got about 10 minutes here until we get to the top of the hour. Let's talk about your view of 2012. What is really going to happen, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I can only guess, and I use the evidence that is presented to me. And if you watch the history programs on apocalypse in 2012, you know, all the signs are there. I mean, just look around the world.
We're in the signs of what?
Well, you know, we have floods, we have earthquakes, we have volcanoes going off, and these are some of the prophecies that not only Edgar Cayce, but some of our Native Americans have prophesied will be signs of the end of time that's approaching. Now, the Mayans believe that we're about to end the fourth age and begin the fifth one. And I believe that it's going to be a glorious event where those chosen by extraterrestrials will be part of the next evolutionary step of mankind. And the militaries of the world's different nations will be away teams to other planets as we as we're redirected into a more peaceful way of life. There will be no more wars. This is actually in Revelations. There will be no more sad endings. And even death itself will be over. And metaphysics gives us the answer to that. Your consciousness is the only true vehicle. And once you qualify, you can actually leave and let somebody else walk into your body. Now, that's not something we were taught in parochial school, but I actually believe that we are luminous beings, and that on that appointed day, whether it's on December 21st or 22nd, or if we don't even make it that far, I mean, we just saw Korea lighting off a very big bomb, and the last thing we want is a large loss of life just as we're getting ready to move into this next stage, because reincarnation, like it or not, is real, and we need to have enough bodies for these different personalities and consciousnesses to re-engage so they can learn their spiritual lessons and quit the endless rounds of births and deaths, like the Dalai Lama, who I read you would like to meet, talked about. And, you know, that's one of the things I got from the Tibetan monk named Tilab Sangrampa. Anybody want to get a good idea of what's going on, read three of his books, The Third Eye, The Hermit. Matter of fact, The Hermit, which is now called The Cave of the Ancients, writes about the true story of a blind hermit who was picked up by aliens and was part of an intergalactic discussion about how worthless mankind currently is, and this monk was arguing on our behalf that we are worthy. And, you know, sometimes I read what's going down, and we had suicide bombers that I believe are being misled. And there's a lot of people here in my own state who are very spiritually ignorant of what's about to happen. And this story provides a lot of hope. That's what I see coming, and I want to stay alive for it myself. And I encourage everybody else to hold off if you're on your last legs and you think you want to check yourself out. There's another way that's sanctioned by God. Do not commit suicide. You can have another way. It's right around the corner, and it's a good thing for mankind. And the shift is going to level everything that's man-made. I believe it's going to be a physical event. And these aliens are showing themselves on purpose in preparation for our evacuation. So,
okay, so we're not going to have any more skyscrapers. We're not going to have any more apartment buildings, resorts. All that's going to be leveled, right?
Edgar Cayce said, in a blink of an eye, that's how fast the orange peel of this earth is going to twist around and get the poles reversed, as it has done 171 times, according to volcanic core samples, which is why paleontologists, or the guys who study geology, know that we're over 250,000 years overdue, and they can't explain why. And I believe it's the pyramids, the Tunguska blast, Stonehenge, it's delayed the processional wobble. But come 2012, it'll be the completion of this 26,000-year cycle, and there's nothing going to be able to hold back. The Earth needs to flip, and it doesn't want us to die. I believe that we have a great destiny, and all of us have to accept the reality that aliens are here for the good. This, like what they did for Moses, and they're emissaries from God. They seeded our planet, and we need to step up to the plate here and start recognizing their existence, and we don't have to wait for the military. The evidence is right there on the History Channel. UFO Hunters and all these other, even my website, I'm contributing just like Gandhi said. I believe he said, be the change that you want to see. So I'm throwing my stuff out there at no cost for all of humanity because of my great love that my father taught me as a San Diego cop.
All right, now you have several times mentioned, among other documents, biblical prophecies. I have no problem whatsoever with the concept of extraterrestrials within the pages of the Bible. And I've said on this show many times, anyone who says they believe the Bible and then tells me that extraterrestrials don't exist have just told me that God doesn't exist. Because any way you slice it, the God that's in that Bible is an extraterrestrial. He's not from here. That means he's an extraterrestrial. But, Mike, there are also, within those pages, extraterrestrials that are decidedly evil. And there are stories of these two different types of extraterrestrials doing battle in the skies, and that's within the pages of that Bible. So what do you say about the extraterrestrials that may be evil and not have our best interest at heart? Do they exist?
To some degree, this is true. I believe it, and it's actually documented in some wood etchings from our distant past. However, good will always triumph over evil. And as God has created this entire universe so that humanity could prove their worthiness to join the Godhead, that is that we all have free will and consciousness. We make our own decision. We can kill or help live. And that's why we're here. You know, there was a great debate where Lucifer thought that he should be God, and God said, no, but I'll tell you what, let's create this universe and let everybody give their chance to play God and see how you do with the responsibility of free will. Now, just to take a little sidelight, metaphysics says that every atom and molecule has consciousness, and if you can communicate with that atom or molecule, you can control it or redirect it, which is how I believe these people are levitated out of their bedrooms during abduction right through a wall, because scientists say that nothing is solid, everything is vibrating. Well, it so happens that back in 93, after I had taken my UFO photograph, I was capturing anything triangular on TV that I could, and one of them was a computerized quark. And you're going to see this on my website. It was from the program Creating the Universe, and it's a triangle with three different types of circles on each end. Well, 2 weeks later, the famous Barbary Castle crop circle was formed with a triangle with lines leading to the middle of that triangle forming a circle and bands surrounding that circle with three different circles on the end, which duplicated that quark. And I had successfully interpreted, and this was written about in the L.A. Times, thanks to Tony Perry, Bureau Chief of the L.A. Times, that this is a atom and molecule with consciousness, and it's sending a signal. And we know the hydrogen atom sends a signal that's almost visible to the human eye under a microscope. So it goes way back to metaphysics and certain unknown truths that most of mankind has never even thought about, but it links up to UFOs and the reality of why we're here, who they are, and what their mission is, which is to help mankind. They don't want to see us destroyed, which is why I believe they're showing themselves here at the apex of this moment in our history so that we can all believe and be part of the next evolutionary state, which is right around the corner.
All right. We have a break coming up here very shortly, about 20 seconds or so. And when we come back from this break, I want to just briefly discuss that next evolutionary stage, and then we'll open up the telephone lines for our audience to call in. But I'd like to get into that evolution, next evolutionary stage. What is it? What's it all about? We'll be back with Mike Orrell and the next evolutionary stage right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Mike Orrell. Mike, you've talked about, and we've heard this from other guests, this is not something really new to us, the next evolutionary stage, or we're going to evolve, or we're going to ascend, there's going to be a great ascension take place in 2012. We've heard this from other guests. I want to get your take on that. What is the next evolutionary stage for mankind?
Well, let's look at the phenomenon of abductions, Kevin. What are they all about? Why are they taking our humans and mixing them with aliens? And metaphysics answers that. They're in-betweens. They are going to be the ones who will retrain us after the shift and the rapture. And this generation is the one that's going to see that. And we will be responsible for training the following generations. And we're looking at a lot more than that. You know, these aliens who have the ability to manipulate atoms and molecules, they're going to be the end to cancer and to all diseases. And there'll be no more unemployment or homelessness because our money system will be upgraded to, who knows, a barter system, and we should probably be of the mindset that we're more than willing to share our planet with colonies of aliens as we set up colonies on their planets as trading partners, and the technology we'll be given will be so great that it's important that everybody who wants to be a part of it should be nonviolent. I mean,
okay, now, you sound as if, in amongst the various metaphysical documents that you have sort of integrated into that, a belief in what the Bible prophesies as well. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And, now, the doom and gloom part in Revelations.
Yeah, but now, see, if you buy into that whole thing about, you know, what the Bible is prophesying and so forth, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, and I'm not about to criticize it. I'm simply going to add something to the discussion. That scenario, the one in the Bible, would definitely tell us we're going to survive 2012 because it has 1,000 years of additional life on Earth.
There you go.
After 2012. And then it has a total evacuation to a new planet in a completely different part of the universe, or perhaps a completely different universe. Because at that point, it says they go to a brand new Earth where there is a new heaven, meaning, of course, that the constellations you see now are not what you will see then.
Right. And, you know, we go back to metaphysics, and the three different authors that I mentioned earlier, they all write about something known as the Akashic Records.
Yeah.
You know that, Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently it is a a library of all the past, present, and probable future, which is probably where Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus dipped into to be able to see what happened in our distant past. And that is going to be our form of justice in the future. You're not going to be able to get away with anything, so why commit the crime? That's what was on Psychic Detectives. How else could those psychics have caused the solving of those many crimes? And, you know, you see your psychics on TV, John Edwards and a whole bunch of other ones, James von Prague. That's for real. Nobody dies. You're as dead now as you're ever going to be. And I believe that the historic Christ will be reemerging, and he will be leading us and living amongst us for that span of time. And I certainly want to live to see that day, as well as all my friends and my family, because that means that I will be that much closer to moving up the spiritual ladder and finishing up my debt here on Earth, because I want to move on. But I'm not going to move on until the rest of us do as well, which is why the Dalai Lama keeps reincarnating. There's a lot of work to be done here on this planet. You just read the newspapers one day, and you can see that, you know, people are being horrendously killed by our fellow man right and left. It's happening right across the border where I live.
It's happening right here in Phoenix, and in San Diego, and in Philadelphia, and in New York, and, you know, it's...
Are you talking about the hurt the Padres just put on the Diamondbacks, Kevin?
I wasn't going to mention that, you know.
Because we're going to do the same thing. Denver's next. But, yeah, it's absolutely true, and metaphysics says that the historic Christ made his appearance on every living planet. This was God's wish, that we all be given a code to live by, the Ten Commandments, which I strive to follow up. I don't think the ETs expect perfection, because we are not perfect. You just have to have a good heart, and it doesn't matter what crime you've committed. And if you're listening to this in a jail cell right now, you can still be saved. You have to get on your knees, ask God to forgive you your sins, confess to him. He's the only one, and he's listening to you. He can hear your thoughts. Aliens have telepathy. I've experienced telepathy myself. It's in my as-yet-unpublished book that I've had two or three accidental telepathic experiences. Now, that wasn't taught in school, and yet I can confirm for myself it exists. So this is all waiting for us on the other side of 2012. On or around.
And you believe this is going to be necessary in order, sort of religious experience is going to be necessary in order to survive through 2012.
There is going to be, I believe, a culling in the herd of mankind, much what the same thing happened in Egypt on the Passover. It's going to happen to all these people who, what you preach and what you hand out, whether it's blessings and peace or death and destruction, is what you're going to get for yourself. So I don't even believe in the death penalty. I think they should stop it immediately. We are all a product of our environment, and I work with a lot of people whose environment when they grew up was terrible, and they have become unhappy humans, and their experience is meted out upon the world. You know, so I'm thinking the different nations that are listening to this interview right now, it's all about seeking peace. And that's all you need, and you can be part of the next state of mankind. And I believe the historic Christ will be leading us, because I've got other evidence that I'm not going to mention on the air, but that he exists. It's all in metaphysics, and it's in the Akashic Records. So,
okay, now, Mike, since we are speaking to people who literally are around the world, we're talking to people who are evangelicals, we're talking to people who are Roman Catholic, who are Christian Orthodox, who are Reformed Jews, Orthodox Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, Taoists, and the list goes on and on and on, and then a great number of people who are no particular religious persuasion whatsoever. So it will perhaps, I don't know when we open the phones, I have no idea who will call, and we don't screen the calls, but it should come as no surprise to you if someone calls and says, I don't buy what you're saying about the historic Christ.
I'm used to that.
Okay. All right, we're going to open the telephone lines, folks, and let me give you the telephone number. It is 602-539-9580, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Obviously, if you're calling from outside of the USA and you're calling from outside of Canada, those numbers do work. However, neither of those would be toll-free. Okay? All right. But if you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you can use my flash message feature by going over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message. So if you're not in Canada and you're not in the USA, you can use that and send me a flash message with your question or comment. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Yes, hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Yes.
Hi, I'm listening to the show tonight. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell Mike he has some very valid belief systems. Mine's a little bit different. I know a lot more about what's going to be going on, and basically I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. There's a big difference. I believe all people that wish for peace and harmony and goodwill, not only for themselves but for their fellow man and fellow beings across not only the Earth Mother but the entire cosmos, are spiritual. Religious is just basically a specific belief system that's put down by a group of individuals who want people to think their own way and no other. But, 2012 is going to be a pivotal point, definitely, Mike. There's a gentleman by the name of Michael Elijan, and Kevin knows who I'm speaking of. Michael channels the cosmic beings, basically Lord Ashtar, the Ashtar Command, who is part of the forces of light, and he also channels Saint Germain, Archangel Michael, Zozar, who is the head of the solar, the Knights of the Solar Cross, and a few other entities, and basically he's kind of confirmed that Lord Ashtar has. I had a channeling session done with Michael, and but it's a little bit different. There will be a rapture occurring, but basically it will be happening to those individuals whose vibrational levels are high enough where they can be lifted off the planet, supposedly. And again, as you said, there's also free will. So the individuals can decide whether or not they want to take part in the higher vibrational levels, thus becoming more enlightened and supposedly more divine, or they can choose to just continue in their karmic incarnations that are going to keep happening to them until they decide whether or not they want to keep doing that.
Okay, did you have a question for Mike?
Well, yeah, okay. That was just my basic background thing. But anyway, I wanted to ask a little bit about these UFOs. Did you actually see them as you were taking the picture, or did they occur, like, on your film after you had the film developed?
No, unfortunately, I didn't see them, and my friends who were with me wouldn't even have come close because my camera was on zoom lens, and my focus was on the center of that valley, not to the formation on the left. And once again, Debbie, if I would have taken two pictures, I guarantee that the object on the right side of the valley would have moved closer to the formation on the left. But you're talking about religion as opposed to spiritual. You know, I grew up a Catholic. I went to parochial school, catechism, and all that. And one day while I was in the upper choir singing Sons of God, I looked down and watched one of the money takers in the baskets reach into that basket, grab a handful of cash, and shove it into his pocket. And I was a 12-year-old boy at the time, but it shook my world. I realized that I was going to have to make decisions for myself, and truth was not what I was taught. And as it turns out, metaphysics would confirm that, that the Apostle Paul apparently fell down in his mission by organizing religion. Spirituality was supposed to be a personal relationship with God, which we can have. And I hope one day to raise my vibrational level. You know, you read all about meditation, but, you know, I can't say I've successfully done it. And yet here I am talking to you about a story that I believe is only possible through the grace of God, and I am certainly far from perfect. So if I can be chosen, I think people on the same level as myself that are just given their best shot will find acceptance and grace on that particular day when our Creator comes back through His emissaries to lift us off and be part of the new scenario for mankind.
All right, back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, yes, very interesting show tonight. I've been following this the 2012 thing for quite some time myself.
Kevin, can you speak up for us? You're very, very quiet tonight.
I'm very quiet tonight, huh?
Yeah.
I think that's just me, actually. I've been following this 2012 thing for quite some time, and I know there's different theories about when something is going to happen. Obviously, there's something big that's going to happen on that date, astronomical. Kevin Smith is going to be having a big party, apparently, so that's going to be something big, too.
That's right, in Bangkok.
Yeah, that's right. I'll get there if I can. But what I wanted to know is, you said that this rapture is going to be somewhat of an evacuation. Is that going to be on a physical or on a spiritual level, or make a little bit of both?
Well, I was going to say, hold that thought, and let's take a look at the space shuttle photographs of these objects who were invisible before they entered our atmosphere, and then suddenly you see this large disc-like shape. These objects, apparently, according to metaphysics, are gathered around our planet specifically to witness this once-in-a-lifetime event, the shift of our planet. And they are also here to collect, I believe, the product of their engineering, which is all those humans that have qualified through whatever means. And I believe that it's definitely going to affect the majority of the population. But there are some of those people who will not give up their warlike ways. And regardless of your religious affiliation, you're going to be judged one way or the other. And as you judge others, so will you be judged. So it's really a fine line that we're all walking, Kevin. And I hope to see you on the other side. Along with me.
Is it the Anunnaki that have been involved, especially in our early history, and that are still involved? Are they the ones that you're talking about?
I've heard of that. Yeah, that's a possibility, yes. And you see them in Mayan sculptures. You see different inclusions of these space aliens in all of our ancient artwork. And whatever title you want to give them, they have been visiting mankind for a long time, which is why the Nazca lines in Peru are such a great signature of their existence. When you see my website and you see these projecting triangles that match artifacts from various civilizations, and those match four separate UFO photographs, actually it's more than that now, you got to put two and two together and say that, yeah, these aliens are responsible for these incredible artworks and possibly the pyramids. According to metaphysics, they moved mass with sound, sound waves. And now it's just in today's paper that radio waves have successfully killed cancer pathogens. That was in today's paper, so... You know, we're moving onward and upward, and I hope we're all part of it.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you to the guests because it's been a really interesting, great, exciting show.
Thank you, Bob.
All right,
and
Bob.
I also wanted to say that do not take this the wrong way, because if you look at everything, out of everything that you've said, I've been along with and I agree with, and if you look at the carton saying like 100% of it, I believed, not believed, but I totally understood and saw where you were coming from and think about the same things about 99%. But there was one thing that I didn't agree with, and it was 2012. I believe that 2012 is more of a Hale Bopp type theory because right now you can look at any point because there's so much happening everywhere. There's always going to be breaking things, and there could be all these things happening. But I think it's just a date because the Mayan calendar didn't start at the same time that ours did, and we're off. And I think all these things are going to happen in some way or another, regardless of that particular date that we have on our calendar. I'll leave you with that. Thank you.
All right, Bob. Thanks.
Well, I would say this. Even without the Mayan prophecy, it is a fact that these astronomical events are going to happen together on December 21st, 2012. And if you link that with the fact that we are over 250,000 years overdue for the shift of our Earth poles, and if that's going to be a crustal event, then you would think that it might have an effect. Now, you go back to May 5th in the year 2000 when the nine planets lined up, and a lot of people thought that that was going to be enough to pull the gravitational forces for our planet to roll over, and there's a lot of books written about it. I was even one of them who said that that might happen on that date. So there is no guarantee, and it's in the Bible. Nobody knows the hour, not even the angels, but we are certainly given directions to a sign that something is going to happen in 2012. And we don't know exactly what date or what hour, but the idea is it's better to be prepared than not. And I've been living my life according to my code, and my religion actually is the same as our ancient Americans. It's truth and loyalty, and sometimes it's tough to be loyal to the truth, but it is out there, and it can be confirmed, and my code is bravery and generosity, and it took some courage to do this interview with Kevin Smith, and I'm generous with my evidence on the website, which I'm not charging anybody for, but that's my job. And I would like everybody to help support Kevin Smith's program by becoming members because he's getting this word out, and it's not easy. And he's got a connection around 95 different countries. That's amazing. So it's like this is prophesized actually in the Bible code, the first five books of Genesis. I believe that there is a code and that it's pointing the way to this event. And they say that in 2012, in this code, that there's going to be a meteor that's going to hit Earth, but in the same time, there's another code reference that says it will be smashed to bits. I will smash it. That's on my website, and I believe it's the aliens who are going to protect us, as they have in the past, from evil aliens, which I believe don't have our best interest out there. Matter of fact, Kevin, I can't even explain the cattle mutilations. I mean, what are they doing with these cattle, boring out the backside and taking off different organs? Are they creating another Sasquatch?
Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you, it's not just cattle. It's also human mutilations. And we had Daryl Sims on the other night, and Daryl talked to us about some human mutilation cases where exactly those same things were done. And these, I think the most prominent place or the most prevalent place where this takes place is in South America.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Now, let me, we're just about into a break. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yeah, I'll take him.
All right, you hang on because we want to get your call. And, caller, you will hear music in just a moment. Just stay there, and we'll get to you first up after the break. We'll be back with Mike Orell and your telephone calls right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Mike Orrell. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing this evening?
Outstanding, sir.
Just to jump in on that last, you guys were talking about human mutilations.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this before on your show. I just wonder if your guest knows about the new book out from Whitley Strieber, The Nye Incident, where this guy was actually, people seen this guy taken up into a spaceship and then later found him mutilated later. You can Google and stuff and either watch it and listen about it or read it. It's quite interesting.
All right. Have you heard about that, Mike?
Actually, I haven't, but like I said, I do believe there are aliens who don't have our best regard in mind, and I believe that is totally possible, and Strieber's been there, so I'm going to Google that afterwards, Terry.
Yeah. I heard and been trying to research, these pyramids and stuff on the planet, where they're positioned, and all of that stuff. There's a claim that these things are put in a certain places, just like you would balance a wheel, so we wouldn't flip over or go, or have one of them catastrophes that we're talking about, and that also, besides messages, crop circles are also put like on ley lines and stuff to heal the planet and stabilize it. I just wonder if you believe in that, and I'll take the rest of it offline. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call.
As a matter of fact, I never read about that or heard that the pyramids were precisely placed there for the purpose of stabilizing the gyroscopic effects of our Earth wobble. I came to that conclusion when they were talking about the exact placement of those pyramids happens to be around the largest longitudinal and the belly of the world, basically, as well as the fact that Robert Bovall came up with the astounding conclusion that the placement of those three pyramids on Giza matched the belt of Orion, where there is claims that alien planets with inhabited life forms exist. So I thought that was an amazing conjunction of pattern, that alignment of those pyramids. But I thought I was the only guy who came up with the idea that the pyramids have locked us into a stabilized wobble, but they're not going to be able to hold it. They're actually slipping a little bit from true north as our planet approaches the completion of its 26,000-year cycle. And about Stonehenge, those ley lines, I believe, and according to many books, there are powerful magnetic forces underneath Stonehenge. And who knows if that was something that was created by aliens, just like I believe the Tunguska blast was, Kevin, like you were talking about last night. And I didn't hear you mention that researchers in 1928, or shortly after that, found little balls of a different material that silicon. Silicon balls were found in that swamp, little tiny black balls.
They're ferrum silicate.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mentioned that. And you cannot produce that on Earth. The only place you can produce it is in space.
And metaphysics says that aliens, when they enter our carbon universe, they have to put on camouflage, that's a quote, to suit our carbon environment. And they said there's many other universes that are made up of different molecules. One of them is a silicon environment. So who's to say that this craft that entered, and according to the program I saw, this object in Tunguska actually changed course and did a little loop over before it detonated. Who's to say that didn't help stabilize as well the wobble of our planet, and it was created on behalf of aliens because we didn't have nuclear bombs back in 1908.
No, we certainly didn't. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I hadn't forgot about you.
Well, welcome back.
I saw, speaking of this 1908-ton Guskin meteorite crash, I saw on one of the links the story is suggesting that an alien spacecraft actually collided with a large asteroid to prevent it from striking the Earth, and thus the explosion. Now, whether that's true or not, who knows?
Mm-hmm. That's what the show was about last night.
Pardon me?
That is what the show was all about last night.
Oh, I missed last night. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's okay. It's not a problem. However, it does prove that when I say if you miss a single second of the Kevin Smith Show, you miss a universe of information. There's a Russian scientist, Dr. Labvin, L-A-B-V-I-N, Labvin, that is saying that about a UFO intentionally impacted a meteor to keep it from striking the Earth. I still have questions about that. I have no question in my mind that there was a UFO because of what the eyewitnesses described. They described a UFO. It was cylindrical, and it was very, very bright blue, so bright it was hard to look at. And it took 10 minutes to descend to the Earth, and there was no explosion in the air. Okay, so the explosion took place after this thing was on the ground. There was no sound of an impact, but there was an explosion shortly after it hit the ground or after it landed. Now, that's what the eyewitnesses who were miles and miles away had to say about this. And then, the idea that there was a meteor involved, I don't see any indication of that from the eyewitness accounts at the time. They did see a cylindrical object. It was very bright, and they said it was hard to look at because it was so bright. But it was like they said it was like a pipe or a cylinder. But there's no one said anything about a meteor. And had it struck something in the air, there would have been eyewitnesses to that, and none of them described that.
Kevin, let me mention to Mike that after I had made the cover of a local newspaper called the Beach and Bay Press, I got a lot of phone calls from people who saw my article and my different rock faces, and one of them was very adamant about getting in touch with me, and this was a retired businessman who had told me that in the 1950s, he had a business partner who had revealed to him that in the 40s, he was a military police officer at a Air Force base here in California, and the name escapes me, but at one point during the middle of the night, the sirens went off, and they were all running out towards this hangar area, and much to their startling disbelief, there was a UFO hovering outside the hangar. Well, apparently, inside the hangar was a captured UFO. Well, what happened next proves that aliens can blast asteroids. Apparently, the sergeant whipped out his gun and opened fire on the UFO hovering outside the hangar. Eyewitnesses, and there was at least 10 of them, reported that an opening in the UFO occurred, and a green laser-like blast hit the sergeant and vaporized him. There was nothing left, and the UFO craft took off. And those UFO officers were sworn to secrecy for 10 years, so after the 10-year period, he revealed that this had happened, and this businessman, who was a second party, felt important enough to contact me. So I believe that if they had to, they could blast a meteorite coming at Earth that would devastate our population. Now, the reason why they didn't during the dinosaur era is because it was time for the next phase of mankind. and we would not be alive if the dinosaurs were. So aliens do have that power, and technologies like that possibly blasted out the Russian Phobos, which was an exploratory spacecraft circling around Mars. And Marina Popovich, the famous test pilot from Russia, personally gave me a copy of that photo, as well as some other ones. And so I believe aliens certainly do have the ability to destroy asteroids.
Well, you're not the only one that thinks that this planet is protected. I've had conversations lately with several researchers, and they are the opinion that this planet is protected.
Yeah, it's God's little creation factory. He's got a spiritual cosmic game going, and he wants to see how each and every one of us plays it. We are given the powers of life and death individually, and some of us are terribly misusing it. It's tough for me to read the paper daily. And hopefully those people that are transgressing God's law are going to change their ways, because I want them to be part of the next phase, just like I want to be part of it. And it's all a matter of practicing peace, and that's what it's all about.
Kevin's God's in the Garden discourse,
yeah,
or
that.
Program that he put out demonstrates where man should truly be. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, folks, the telephone number is 602-539-9580 and toll-free 1-888-223-4599. 888-223-4599. That one is toll-free if you're in Canada or if you're in the United States. If you're elsewhere, use the flash message feature on my website. All you have to do is just scroll down, go to my website, and then scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message, and you can send me a flash message. You know, one of the things I've been waiting for what I thought would be appropriate timing, and I think this is I think we've arrived at an appropriate place for me to make this statement. There are people. Lots and lots of people, Mike, who think if you mention the Bible, oh, that's that religious stuff. Well, you know, I'm holding in my hands a ballpoint pen, and you could form a group that believes this ballpoint pen is God. And you could worship this ballpoint pen. And then every single time I mention a ballpoint pen, you and everyone in your group would say, oh, he's talking about religion. That's what's been done with the books that are in the Bible. People have made that religious, and it is not necessarily so. I view it as a collection of ancient documents that contain some amazing information that has, on purpose, been hidden in plain view by fraudulent translation and by fraudulent teachings. But just to say something about something that's in the Bible is not religious. It's just mentioning another ancient document, another ancient record, and what it has to say. I'll get your comment on that when we come back from this break, Mike. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Mike Orell. Mike, before we went to break, I made a statement. And the statement I made is that I view the Bible as a collection of documents that have some amazing information when you read what it actually says. And you've heard the ads I did for God's in the Garden, where I say it's written with words, words have definitions, and it says what it says, period. Now, what I don't understand is all over the world listening right now, there are people who read the newspaper every day. And as soon as they finish reading the newspaper, they don't jump up, run out, and find a professional journalist to explain to them what they read. Because they're not stupid. They know what they read. And yet, if they open one of these books of what we call the Bible, they read it, and then they don't trust their own mind. They have to have a professional religionist tell them what that says. And when you turn to a professional religionist to explain it to you, he's not going to just translate. He's going to put his own spin and interpretation on it. That's called a theologian. But it says what it says, and it says some outstandingly amazing stuff that meshes perfectly with other ancient documents. Now, that's my statement, but I want to give you the opportunity, if you would like, to disagree with that, if you disagree.
Actually, I want to confirm that I agree with you, and as a schoolboy, parochial school kid going to St. John of the Cross, I had my own questions. As a matter of fact, there's many interpretations that can be gained from different passages of the Bible and different books of the Bible. And for instance, there's one incredible truth that was revealed to me in metaphysics that I am loath to reveal here on the air, but I am forced into it. And it was a moment in my life that qualified me for what was to come. In the 1980s, I was reading The Bible of Metaphysics, which is Jane Roberts. Anybody want to Google Jane Roberts, you can read incredible truths that are confirmed in many other metaphysical writings. Well, Jane, when she went into trance, just like Edgar Cayce, she was dictating to her husband, Robert, incredible realities that happened in the time of Jesus. And one of these episodes reveals, incredibly enough, that the historic Jesus was not crucified. There was a divine conspiracy in which Judas kissed a self-styled Messiah, and that he was the one and not the historic Christ to be crucified. And that wrecked my world. And I've been seeking confirmation of that, which the Bible tells us to do, ever since. And I've gotten in physical fights with family members and friends over my belief that when Jesus asked God to take this cup from me on three separate occasions in the garden, that he did. And that Jesus, who was well-loved of God, he actually died on the cross in the garden when on his knees he wept and sweated blood, and he showed God that he was more than willing to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy and die on the cross, but it was not required. As a matter of fact, metaphysics says that people that require that are ones that are in need of crime and punishment. And for me, to take Jesus off the cross was a monumental effort, but the evidence started rolling in. They said that Paul was in on the conspiracy, Paul of Tarsus, who was given the job to get the word to humanity about the life of Jesus. And sure enough, in a program called The Early Christians, in the catacombs under Rome is a mural done by Paul of Tarsus that shows a figure on a cross with pointed arms and the feet coming to a point and a horse's head, and the inscription says, Adrianus worships his God. Now, for all I care, this Adrianus character is the image that's on the Shroud of Turin, and what really happened was more glorified than what the Bible wrote. And sure enough, we get the Judas Gospels, Kevin, that show that Judas was the best friend of Jesus, and Jesus actually told him, you will sacrifice the one that clothes me. Now, my religion, once again, is truth and loyalty, and I have to go wherever truth is. And a lot of my Christianity upbringing has got me to this point, and I'm taking it with me. But I don't claim any religion as my own except truth and loyalty. And that's what qualified me, I believe, Kevin, for this event that happened at Inyoha Memorial Park on July 1st, 1990. Now, there's a lot of people who are going to say, oops, he just blew it right there. But then again...
Yeah, all over the world.
I am willing to take my Jesus off the cross because it fulfills metaphysical truth. Jesus was willing to die on the cross, so was Abraham willing to sacrifice his only begotten son, Ezekiel. And how come he didn't have to do that? Because God...
No, it was Abraham.
Excuse me. It was Abraham that was ready to sacrifice his son. And in the mid-stroke, he didn't have to do it because he proved to God that he was willing to do it. And it says in the Bible, if you are even thinking of committing adultery, it is if you have committed the act. Now, in my opinion, Jesus did die on the cross, was more than willing to do it. It simply wasn't a physical event. And in my book, I bring out confirmation after confirmation that this event happened and that we should all be willing at the moment of our crossing over to accept that Jesus, who had to make an appearance on countless other planets on behalf of our God, and whatever guise he made that appearance, that he didn't have to suffer this event for God to get Jesus' story to us. It was his life, not his physical death. And there are other interpretations of the Bible, but this one was in metaphysics. I didn't come up with it, and it startled me in my youth. And yet, when I started finding evidence to confirm it, it was easy for me to accept. You know, I love Jesus. I believe that he is the only Son of God, and that metaphysics even says that, well, it goes on and on, but that he was the second coming. The first coming was during the time of Atlantis, and that it's Paul of Tarsus whose job went undone, and that he's the one that's going to be reincarnated back into our civilization. And there's some information about that on my website. I didn't really want to talk about that, but Kevin, I've never released that in the 26 radio interviews I've done, but I want people around the world to study the Jane Roberts Seth material and find that there are other realities that are unknown to us and that one day we're going to have to accept. And there's a lot of proof of that particular idea. So there you go.
26 radio interviews, and you've never told that before. I bet you got some email over that one.
Oh, are you kidding? You know, and it's something that I am happy because of it. I mean, for me to physically die on the cross is going to be a psychic event. You get people who reincarnated who have died in a plane crash. Well, in their next life, and this is in India, it's been proven, they are afraid to fly in planes. Now, my historic Jesus did not deserve to die on the cross. It was only prophesied in the Old Testament so you would know him by this. And Judas, who was his best friend and was privy to secret knowledge, willingly sacrificed himself for all of mankind so that he could save the life of the historic Jesus. And even the Roman guards said that they carried that body out of the tomb because Jesus knew that this was not to be associated with him. And this explains the third revelation of Fatima. They had the Pope in the white robe climbing the hill with a cross in his hand, and he got gunned down and killed with arrows.
We've only got 8 seconds left. Mike, I got to tell you, I wish we had more time. We don't. We're right at the end of the show. Stay on the line with me for a moment, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, as I always promise you, it will always be interesting, challenging, make you think. Sometimes you hear things that you agree with. Sometimes you hear things you disagree with. That's what freedom is all about. My guest tomorrow night is Bruce Maccabee. Dr. Maccabee will join us and talk about some more controversial things. It'll be fun. You be here, okay? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.